Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Our shiur will begin from the very last few words on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. We are continuing in the topic of Drusa. We will, in fact, be continuing the most recent discussion that we had in our previous shiur concerning the Drusa of the Chatul. Just to remind you, drusa is a situation where an animal, certain kinds of animals, attack with their paws. And the question is this attack with their paws going to release a venom? And if it releases a venom through its paws, is that going to be sufficient to burn away at internal organs, thereby rendering its victim a trefa? So our Gemara at the bottom of Nun Beis Amud Beis, Bo Amine Rav Kahano Me Rav. And now we're at the top of Nun Gimel. Yesh Drusa L'Chatul O Ein Drusa L'Chatul. Does Chatul have Drusa or not? In other words, as an attacker, is it capable of affecting its victim? Now, as we go on in the Gemara, we're going to find a very almost humorous structure where we can call it very simply a runaround. So you'll anticipate that as we go on in the Gemara, this section will include what you can see are double underlines, and we will explain them later. So right now, the question is simply put, is does the Chatul perform or commit drusa? Amale, so Rav answers, Af l'chulda yesh drusa. Even the chulda, which is a smaller creature than the chatul, the chulda, has drusa. So now Rav Kahana asks, yesh drusa l'chulda? O ein drusa l'chulda? There is a discussion whether this is necessarily a give and take on the same spot. The Tosfos at the top says, Harav Yubitzok, Rabbi Meir, Meforish, Dechol Hanuch Bayos, Havi Bekamo Zimnin. These questions were posed at different times. Depam Rishona Hoya Oisek Ba'oifos, Visholem Yesh Drusa L'Chatul. At the first occasion, they were discussing birds, and the question came up, can a bird fall victim to a Chatul? The Heshiv Lo Rav, Afilu L'Chuldo Yesh Drusa. Vishuhoya Oseik Beimri Ravavi, and on another occasion they were dealing with large sheep. Rav was discussing with Rav Kahana large sheep. Vishalo im yesh drusa l'chulda im lav, and then the question was, does chulda have drusa against large sheep? Veishiv lo afilu l'chatul ein drusa. And Vishuv hoya Oseik Begdoyim Tzoyim Vishalo chulda v'chatul yesh lam drusa oy loy. V'amalei L'chatul yesh drusa, v'lo l'chulda. V'kein hoya meforesh hayuvda d'shabbos b'parshas toilin. So according to this particular approach that Tosfos is suggesting, what I termed before as a runaround was not a runaround at all, but there were discussions that take place on different occasions that simply were put together over here. But as far as the way the Gemara presents it, you'll see it seems to be a little bit dizzying. Let's continue to get the flavor of this discussion. So Rav, after being presented with the question of does Chatul have drusa, he says, well, even the chulda, which is smaller, has drusa. So now, a question. Yesh drusa l'chulda o ein drusa l'chulda? Does chulda have drusa or not? Omalei. So Rav answers, Af l'chatul ein drusa. This would seem to contradict what he said before. Now, question. L'chatul u'l'chuldo yesh lehen drusa, ein lehen drusa? From the superficial approach to the Gemara, it would seem that he's now, Rav Kahana is trying to put Rav in the corner. do Chatul and Chuda have drusa or not? Amalei, so Rav answers, the Chatul yes drusa, the Chuda ain't drusa. Now, after you look over the last six lines, you come away with the feeling that it's just full of contradictions. And the Gemara says, "Lo kasha," there is no difficulty, no contradiction. Now, we've used double underlinings, as you can see coming up, to highlight when Chulda and Chatul have or do not have drusa. So the Gemara says, "Lo kasha," there is no contradiction. That which Rav said on the second line from the top, that even Chulda has drusa, meaning Chulda and certainly Chatul, that's ba'oifos, when a bird is the victim of attack. So Chulda and Chatul will be considered successful attackers, in the sense that the bird will then come under the category of drusa, and hence usur to eat. Ha di amale af the chatul ein drusa, that which was said that even the chatul, which is larger than the chulda, even this larger creature, the chatul, does not pose a threat as a dores. That's beimri ravavi. That's when they are attacking large sheep. So the large sheep, even if you see it attacked by a chatul, the large sheep is not affected. Ha di amale the chatul yesh drusa the chulda ein drusa, that where we made a split, the chatul yes and chulda no, that's bigdoyim utloyim. That's when you're dealing with the small goats and sheep. Before going further, we've provided a little chart on the inside margin. You can see the chatul and chulda are featured on the right-hand side going down on the chart, and across the top we have yesh and ein is reference to drusa. So if you look at the chart, the chatul is drusa when it comes to gdoyim and tloyim, and not when it comes to imri ravavi. And the chulda has drusa when it comes to oifos. And we should point out ofos also by the chatul, and the chulda has only by ofos, has drusa, but not with the gdoyim and tloyim. Turning back to the Gemara. Boi Rav Ashi, Shar Oifos Tamein, meaning other than the nates. What about other ofos, other unkosher variety birds? The Rashi points out, except for the gas and the nates, these are two types of known dores birds. What about other kinds of birds? Yesh lahem drusa, o ein lahem drusa. If they attack, are they considered capable of creating this drusa status? Amalei, Rav Hillel, le Rav Ashi. Now, the question was posed by Rav Ashi, so Rav Hillel answers, ki havinon bei Rav Kahana. When we were learning at the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, Omar, it was said, sha'ar oifos tmein yesh lahem drusa. They do have drusa. Question: Vaanan tnan drusas haneis ba'oif hadak, which gives one the feeling that other oifos, even with regard to an oif hadak, do not. In other words, that it, only the nates can affect small birds. So the Gemara answers: this Mishnah is really not exclusionary of other birds. Rather, as follows: drusas haneis bidekavasei. The unique feature of the nates is that it can affect other birds that are of its own size, its same size. Ve'inoch, the other kinds of tomei birds, bidezutra minayu, will affect but only smaller kinds of birds. Ve'ika v'amri, another version of this, drusas hanates, bidarovi minei. The nates is unique in that it can affect birds larger than itself. The enoch, the others, bidekavosayu, they affect birds provided they are like them in size and not larger. As we go on in the Gemara, we have another double loshon sugya. You see there's a little aleph to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and an ikar d'amri, a base that you'll see a few lines later, where there's a squiggle lined expression in the Gemara text Iko Diamri, representing a second version. So bearing that in mind, the Gemara goes on with the topic of Drusa, and we'll introduce here a new animal, a shu'al, a fox. Omar Rav Kahana Mishmei the Rav Simi Bar Ashi. Ein Drusa l'shu'al. There is no Drusa when it comes to the shu'al, as we said, often translated as fox. The Gemara asks, Eini v'ho'ki, Eini means, is that so? V'ho'ki also Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came, Omar, he reported, he said, Maise v'doras shu'al rochel b'merchot shel beis himi. There was a mice, an incident, where a shu'al attacked a sheep, a rochel, a sheep, in the bathhouse of beis himi. Beis himi is the name of a place. Ubo maise lefnei chachomim v'yomru. The incident came to the attention of the rabbis, and they said, Yesh drusa. Omar Rav Safra. Rav Safra reacted and said, Hahi, that story that that happened in Beis Hini where there was Drusa, that's Chasul. Havi, it was the Chatul creature, not the Shu'al. Ika Diamri. Now, another version of that same incident, Omar Rav Kahana Mishmeid Rav Simi Bar Ashi. It opens with the same name as the first version. He says, Yesh Drusa L'shu'al. He opens up by, down here you see the big difference between the two Lashonas, and that's why we've dashed, underlined the word Yesh, so you can contrast that with what we saw at the beginning of the first Lashon, where it said, Ein Drusa. Here it says, Yesh Drusa L'shu'al. Eini, is that so? V'ho'ki Yosir Avdimi, Omar, Maise V'doras Shu'al Rochel B'merchot Shel Beis Hini. An incident happened where a fox attacked in a sheep in the bathhouse of Beis Hini. Ubo Maise L'fnei Chachomim, and the incident came to the attention of the sages. V'omru Ein Drusa. And you notice here too, you see a difference between the two versions. Here, their response is, when hearing the story of the Shu'al, they said, the shu'al does not pose a drusa threat. Ein drusa. Omar Rav Safra, hahu kelev have. That report from the story of Beis Hini that the Chachomim said there was no drusa, that was a story involving a dog, not a shu'al. So according to this version, it would come out that a shu'al does have drusa. Omar Rav Yosef, naktinon. We have a tradition. Ein drusa lekelev. Omar Abaye. Abaye has now a list of rules regarding drusa, when it applies and when not. So we've underlined the expressions in the next few lines and numbered them, the ein drusa expressions, giving you a sense of the underlinings with the numbers. You can see there's a whole list of rules that Abaye presents. Naktinon, ein drusa elo biad, lafuke regel delo. He says drusa applies only with the front leg of the animal. Yad in the animals is a word that's used to distinguish front as opposed to hind legs, which is used, the term regel is used. So his point is that an attack, if the animal attacks using its front legs, that will create drusa, as opposed to the back, the hind legs, which it would not. Ein drusa elo b'tziporen, lafuke shein delo. When you're dealing with animals, as opposed to, let's say, serpents, drusa is a phenomenon that happens as a result of a paw attack, as opposed to a tooth or a bite. A bite, in the case of an animal, as opposed to the snake, which we'll classify as a reptile, the drusa phenomenon happens only through paw attacks, not tooth or fang bitings. Ein drusa elo midas, vafuke shelo midas delo. Drusa will happen only if the animal is intent on attacking, as opposed to something that happens inadvertently. And we'll see a little bit more about that as we go on in the Gemara. And number four, Ein drusa elo mechayim, lafuke la'achar misa delo. Drusa is a factor only when the attacker is alive. If the attacker We'll go offer right now a literal translation, but we'll have to refine this later in the Gemara. And if you say that that drusa is something to concern yourself only when the animal is alive, or mechayim, that is to the exclusion of li'achar misa, after death, delo, when there is no drusa to worry about. Amri, the Gemara now asks, regarding these last two points, 3 and 4, is there not, we'd say, for lack of a better expression and pun not intended, is there not overkill over here? Amri, hashta, you're telling me, shelo midas amris lo, that if an animal is alive, but its contact is not intentional, in other words, let's say the paw of the attacker, if you will, is not, it gets inserted into the victim, but not as a result of an attack. It's something inadvertent. But the antagonist will say is alive, and yet there is no drusa. So la'achar misa mebaya, do I have to tell you after it's dead? In other words, even when it's alive, it at times does not pose a threat. So after it's dead, certainly it wouldn't pose a threat. So why do you have to teach me number 4 after you taught me number 3? The Gemara answers, I need to teach number 4 because number 4 is not dealing with what we thought was a dead animal. Lo tzricha. Case number 4 is featuring an animal that in fact is alive. Did Doris, it attacked. Uposka liyodei. And while the front leg of the animal, the attacking animal, was in its victim, someone came around and cut it off. The attacker, again, is alive. He cut off the paw while it was in the victim. And we say that if that takes place, there is no drusa. And the term misa is a reference to the death of the limb, not the animal. And what do we learn from this? Mahu detema, one without having been taught this point, would have thought, Bahadi didoris shodi zihare, as it inserts its paw nails into the victim, it releases, shodi, it sends or releases zihare, the venom. Komash malon bahadi de sholif shodi zihare, the venom is released only as the attacker removes its paw claws from the victim. So in this case, the limb, which was cut off before the attacker had a chance to remove it from the victim, hence there was no venom release. So that cases 3 and 4 are dealing with totally different situations. And of course, we're not dealing with an animal that is itself, where the animal, the attacker, having died. Omar Rabo Bar Rav Huna Omar Rav. We have a new topic within the realm of Drusa. We have assigned a topic heading that you can see in the outside margin under the heading Nosei. And we've written in, Ari, a lion, Nichnas Lebein Hashvorim, goes into a herd of cattle, Venimsot Siporen Begaboi Shel Echad Mehem, and a singular nail, or a claw nail, appears in the back of one of the oxen. The issue here is, are we to associate the presence of the nail in the back of the ox as saying that the ox has been attacked by a lion? Of course, just to review a point that we've learned in a previous sugya, when you're dealing with a large animal, the only chance of drusa affecting it would be something as a result of a large attacker, and you can't get much larger or ferocious than a lion. So as we continue in the Gemara, we read, Omar Rabo Bar Rav Huna Omar Rav Ari Shenichnos Lebein Hashvorim. We might point out, before forgetting, that we're getting involved with a big sugya concerning Sofek Drusa. This is a term that we will see later on. Here we have a lion that enters a Lebein HaShvarim amongst a herd of oxen. V'nimtzot Siporen Begaboi Shel Echad Mehem. And Siporen is a nail or a claw, a singular nail from the lion's paw. a singular nail was found, the gabo, in the back, shel echo man, of one of the oxen. Ein chushishin shemo ari dorso. You do not have to consider that a lion, or that the lion, had attacked. This, of course, in all of our minds, raises a mystery. How did the nail get into the shore's back if it wasn't attacked? So the Gemara explains, my time. Well, why is it that we come to this conclusion of Ein Choshishin? We don't have to suspect that it was attacked. The Gemara answers, Rov Shvorim, Rov Arroyos Dorsen, Umi Uton Ein Dorsen. The majority of lions attack. There are a minority of lions that do not attack. The Chol Hadores, and all attackings, Ein Tziporno Nishmetes. Nails do not get dislodged from paws. Vezois, and this case, Hoil Vetziporan Yosheves Lo Begaboi, since there is a dislocated nail, namely the nail is sitting in its back, Amar Bekoisel Nischachech. I will have to explain that the shore had rubbed itself, rubbed its back on a wall, and the nail had been in the wall. There had been a dislocated nail, a lion's nail, that was wedged into a wall, and the shore was rubbing its back along the wall, and as a result of that, and not the result of an attack, as a result of its rubbing along the wall, the nail got into its back. Adarabba, here the Gemara offers opposite logic, and often in our markings, when we want to present something of an alternative or opposite nature, we'll use a squiggle underline so you can focus on the point of transition. So here we say adarabba, to the contrary. Roiv shvorim mischachachin, umiyuton ein mischachachin. The majority of oxen rub their backs on walls. There are a minority that don't. V'chol ha-mischachech ein siporon yosheves lo begabo. As a result of rubbing one's back on walls, nails don't get lodged into backs. V'zu hoyo v'tziporon yosheves lo begabo. This animal that has a nail in its back, Amar ari dorso. I would reason that it was attacked by a lion. So we have two pieces of logic that actually are quite opposite in nature. Iko lemei marhochi, v'iko lemei marhochi. You can say thusly, you can say thusly. Uki milso achazke. Being that we're in doubt, we rely on status. Chazoka is previous known status. So the shore was previously known to have not been attacked. Havile sofeg drusa. At worst, this is an animal that may have been attacked. The Rav Litame, Rav, who was quoted in this sugya, we had underlined his name, the last narrow line at the end of the line, he was the one that had ruled we're not choshesh. Rav is consistent with what he teaches. The Omar, Rav, who has said, Ein choshishin l'sofek drusa. He is the one that says we don't suspect that it was attacked. Omar Abaye. Abaye now qualifies. And there's a series of qualifications that appear in the next couple lines, and you'll see little numberings at each point. Number one, Lo Amoron, Elo Tziporen. This point of we're not choshish, that we do not suspect, or we can call it this point of leniency, that's only if the actual nail was found in the ox's back. If you see a mark on an ox's back that indicates a nail had been there, but you don't see any nail, that is a worse situation. And that would conform to what we said before, that in real attacks, nails don't get dislodged. Well, here there's no dislodged nail. That then raises the suspicion of a real attack. Nami lo amoron elo lecho. The idea before that of a nail found in its back is a reason for leniency. That's true, provided the nail that one finds is a lecho, means a fresh nail. In other words, you can see there's it came from a it was recently dislodged. There's still wetness to it, dampness to it. Avol Yevesha, if what you see in the animal's back is a dry nail, that's Ovdo de Mishtamta. A dry nail may have been in the lion's paw, and for whatever reason it was dried out already while it was still in the lion's paw. Dry nails do get dislodged, so it may have been a part of the lion when the attack took place, and that would be a problem then of drusa. Number three, Velecho Nami Lo Amoron, as far as the fresh nail in the ox's back as being a reason for leniency, this is true Elo Bechad, Olo Chado, that you find only one nail, one fresh nail in the ox's back is reason for leniency. Avoltarti Utlas, if you see two or three lion nails in the ox's back, Chayshinon, There is what to suspect, to concern yourself with drusa. The who de kaimo bedora de sihufe, provided these multiple nails are in a row, dora is a row, as they would appear in a paw. In other words, the nails are, you would have to be able to imagine that that a paw landed with nails just in that fashion. In other words, the nails are relatively close to one another as they appear on the paw of the creature itself. Itmar. Before going on, we should point out on the topic heading, the nose, we've written Machlokas Rav Ushmuel I Choshishin L'Sofek Drusa. And we just got finished presenting Rav Shita in the previous discussion. Here he is presented with his opponent Shmuel on this topic of Sofek Drusa, where Sofek Drusa, we should point out, is a situation where I didn't see the actual attack, but there is reason to feel there may very well have been an attack. How are we to proceed? So Itmar Rav, Omar Ein Choshishin L'Sofek Drusa. According to Rav, if you don't see the attack, then you don't have to concern yourself with the animal. You can slaughter the victim, the supposed victim, and not worry. You didn't see the attack. Ushmuel Omar Choshishin L'Sofek Drusa. Shmuel says that you have to worry about it. Before going on, we have a diamond that appears, and this is featured under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. The diamond will be used to highlight the expression Dekulei Alma, which you can see over here. That means this represents a point of agreement, and on Omid Beis we will see a diamond around the expression Ki Pligi, meaning when do they argue, the circumstances under which they argue. So at first we see the point at which they agree. We also have included a long point marking to show the length of this discussion. It starts here with the nun that you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and its ascending vertical dash line. And this continues till the third line from the top, at which point the Gemara finishes presenting the points of agreement and the points of disagreement. So the Gemara continues. Dekulei Alma, everyone, meaning Rav and Shmuel, will agree. Sufek Earl, Sufek Lo Earl. If the doubt is, did the lion enter the herd, enter the pack of animals? Earl means enter. Did it go in between them or not? If that's the doubt, namely that there's a possibility that the lion wasn't there at all. Another scenario, Sofek Kalba, Sofek Shumra. Let's reread, we skipped a phrase. Starting from the beginning of the line, Sofek all, Sofek lo all, Ema lo all. Then we will say it did not go in. In other words, even Shmuel, who was strict in his approach, not in this case. Likewise, Sofek Kalba, Sofek Shunra, if there's a doubt whether it was a dog, which is not a dores, versus a Shunra. Shunra is sometimes translated as a cat, which is a dores. Emo Kalba, if then I will say that it was the dog that entered, and that's reason for leniency. Another scenario, Earl Shosuk V'esuv Binayu. If the attacker went and sat amongst the victims, or the potential victims, it entered Shosik, it remained silent and sat there, sat amongst them. Amar Shalma Shavi. So I will say that it's there in peace. It came in peace, so to speak, without any attacking intentions. A fourth scenario. Kota reshe dechad minayu. Let us say an attacking animal went into amongst a group of victims, and it went and decapitated the head of one of them. I don't have to concern myself with any of the others. Noch me rischei. Noch, it became calmed from rischei, from its wrath. And we, as we saw in previous Gemaras, dores is a result of the animal being in a state of anger or fear or tension. So if one of the victims was decapitated, we can say that the attacker vented all of its wrath on that one, and the rest are fine. Number five, ihu komavi v'inhu komekakaron. These are expressions of noise making on the part of the animals. If the attacker is mavi, is growling, and the others are making their cow noises, that's mekakaron, is the expression for the a noise that cows and these other kind of animals emit. So this situation is not a sofeg dores situation. You don't have to worry. Ba'usi kol mivasi ahadodi. They are engaged in attempting to frighten one another. In other words, it's cows against lion, and they're trying to with noises to frighten each other. And that's all. In other words, there's no indication, that does not indicate that an attack took place. Ki pligi, when is there a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel? Under the following circumstances, the ihu koshosik, the attacker is quiet, the inu ko makakron, and the cows are lowing. Mor sovar, maise ko ovid behu. Shmuel is choshesh because he says that this represents a situation where it had attacked. Umor sovar, Rav says, machas biatuse hu deko avdon. The noises that the cows are making is not a function of an attack having taken place, but rather it's their expression of fear. Omar Ameimar, Hilchasa Choshishin Lesofeg Drusa. According to Ameimar, you do have to, he rules like Shmuel, that you have to concern yourself with this situation and suspect that Drusa took place. Later in the Gemara, we'll see more about that when we speak about that you have to suspect, then a checking is in order. You'll have to check the animal that you want to shecht and establish whether or not it took place. But Choshishin means that you do have to suspect. Omar le Rav Ashi da Meimar, ha de Rav mai. Well, you rule that Choshishin, but what about Rav? Rav said, ain't Choshishin. Omar le, so the Gemara has two approaches. Number one, lo shmiali. Kolomar lo severely. Ameimar says, I don't hear it, which means I don't hold from it. Even in English, some people use the expression, I don't hear what you're saying. That expression really means I don't agree with what you're saying. So Ameimar is saying, I don't agree with what Rav says. In other words, I am strict and hold, you have to suspect a case of Sofeg Drusa. In the case of Sofeg Drusa, like we described. The Iboyas Ema, a second approach, Hodar be Rav legabi Shmuel, that Rav himself turned around and agrees with Shmuel. In other words, Rav abandons his position and adopts that of his adversary of Shmuel, and he too will hold that there is, that you are choshishin in the case of Sofeg Drusa. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice a long marking to the immediate left-hand side that says Maisa, which is encircled and a vertical descending dashed line. The purpose of this marking is to show that all of the next lines of Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line are tied in or related to a particular incident. In addition to that, we have a subtopic heading in the outside margin, which we call tat nosei. Tat literally means underneath, or subtopic. This is as follows. Nisayon, an attempt on the part of the Gemara, this attempt will be rejected, but an attempt, lomar, sherav chozar bo. Or, more accurately, an attempt, leharot, to show, an attempt to demonstrate that Rav backed out. Umurek Shmuel leesor sofek jusa, and now rules like Shmuel to forbid a case of sofek jusa, meaning lachshosh. To more accurately, we should say lachshosh lesofek jusa, sofek jusa. Avol hanisayon, avol nisayon zen nidches. This attempt will be rejected. The attempt to show that Rav rejected his position. That doesn't mean that he did not reject his position, but from the story that we will bring in, we won't necessarily show that he rejects his stance of leniency. So now let's see the attempted demonstration of his rejection and the Gemara's then rejection of the attempt. Dahu sharkefo the sofek drusos. The also lekame the rav, a sharkefal, Rashi explains, is a basket full of birds that a nates. The nates is the name of an attacking. It's a type of attacking type bird that we've seen before. That in already that the nates has drusa to it. So this sharkefal of Sofek Drusos came to Rav's attention. Shadrinu lekame de Shmuel. He sent the case, he sent the birds, the basket of birds, to Shmuel. In other words, Rav did not rule on it. He sent it to Shmuel, knowing fully well that Shmuel holds that Sofek Drusa is a problem. Chankinu v'shadinu benara. He strangled the birds and threw them into the river. So from this story, the Gemara feels that you see that Rav rejected his original stance. If you were to think that Rav did not back out, lishrinu, then he should have allowed the birds, according to what Rav originally said, that we're not choshishin for sofek drusa. Elamai. Now the Gemara questions this conclusion. Elamai, Hodarbe, are you suggesting that he did back out and holds that you have to rule stringently? So, Lisrinu, then he should have forbade the birds. Why did he send them over to Shmuel? He should have issued a ruling of prohibition. Elo, now the Gemara is taking the position that Rav really did not change his original legal ruling. That regarding Sofek Drusa, if all that you have is a doubt, you can go ahead and shecht the animal and eat it. Rather, why did Rav send the birds to Shmuel? Ela Asrei de Shmuel Havei. Asrei means it was Shmuel's town, it was his place. He was the rabbi, the rov in that area. And as such, a visiting personality, as great as he may be, is only a visitor, and hence the right to issue rulings is a right given to the head of the of that particular community, in this case Shmuel. So now the Gemara has other questions regarding the whole story. Loma li lemich mekinhu, why did Shmuel strangle the birds? Lishdinu hochi benara, he should have just taken the basket of live birds and thrown them into the river. Answer, Mifrichon v'salkon. Well, they would have just fluttered away, and other hunters or craftsmen would have caught the birds and sold them to Jews. And Shmuel holds that these birds are forbidden. Question: V'lish inu shneimosur chodesh? Why not keep them in captivity? Lishinu literally is delay them, but keep them in captivity for 12 months. That's the time that, for let's say, an animal is a sofek treifa, where we we're not sure whether it's a treifa. If it lives for 12 months, that's a sign that it's not a treifa. So if it would survive for 12 months, that would be a sign it's not a drusa. So why didn't he keep them alive? Answer, osi behu lidei takola. There were so many birds there that there was a fear that Takola means a stumbling, that someone would come and eat one of the birds. Question: V'lizvininhu le'ovdei kochavim? Why not take these birds and sell them to Gentiles? Answer: Osu lizavninhu le'Yisrael. The fear is that if I would sell them to Gentiles, the Gentile would then turn around and sell the bird or the birds to Jews. Fourth question. Why didn't Shmuel just strangle the birds and throw them into a garbage heap? Why trouble going to the river? If you're already asking about that, so what you could ask, Nishdinu leklovim, he could have just fed them to the dogs. So if you're asking about why he did specifically a strangling and throwing into the river, Ela lepirsume milso di isura. By going to the river with a basket full of strangled birds, that would create public awareness, public noise, so to speak, and that's what he wanted to accomplish. The Rashi adds some significant points that, as far as, after all we're talking about is a sofek trusa. Could you not have checked them out? So Rashi says that since these were small birds and there were a lot of them, he couldn't check them out and issue a ruling of allowance because of all the trouble and the fear that he might have made a mistake in one of them. Another pshat that Rashi gives is since the venom of the gnats is, it's of a light nature. It's not very potent. So the flesh of the victim bird wouldn't really redden to the extent that I'd be able to see the mark and to be able to get a fixing on where the drusa took place. And therefore, at the very outset, a checking would not be effective. So therefore, the only alternative was to kill the birds, and in order to make this a public affair, publicize the halacha, he threw them into the river. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading, Sofek Drusa, Kagon She Roinu She Nidrusa Ve'ein Mokom Hadrusa Nikr, where there's a suspicion that drisa took place, and meaning we saw an attack, but we don't see where the mark is on the victim. How much do we have to check out on the animal's body? Just to review, the issue of drusa, of these attacks, is a function of a release of venom that's capable of burning a hole in internal organs. And that's eventually what we have to be able to determine. Is there a hole? But I have to know on the body where to check. And usually that's indicated by a red mark that that happened as a result of an attack that demonstrates that that's the spot that the venom was released, making my checking much easier. We are featuring now a case where I can't identify where the mark is, and how far am I supposed to check? So that will be the subject of the Gemara as we go on. Hahu bar avzo, there was a bar avzo is a type of bird, sometimes translated as a goose, dehava be Rav Ashi, that was in the home of Rav Ashi, ol lebeni kanya. It all means it entered, it went in, lebeni, amongst kanya, reeds. Reeds are can be sharp at times. So it entered a cluster of reeds. Nofek also kimimasmes kue dama. And nofek, it exited. Kimimasmes, nasis literally is dirtied. Kue, its neck. When its neck was bloodied. That dama is blood. So the description here is the bird exited with a bloodied neck. Of course, this raises the possibility maybe it was attacked. So, Omar Rav Ashi, Lo Aminan. Now, this expression has to be read with the right intonation to get the pshat across. meaning don't we say lo amrinon sofek kalba sofek shunra emar kalba? Don't we say that if you have a doubt whether a dog attacked or a shunra, cat attacked, that you conclude that we are to conclude it's a dog? Now, we saw that under our Ahmed Aleph, toward the bottom, we had a diamond there, and three lines from the bottom, you see the Sofek, you see that as something that everyone agreed with, Sofek Kalba Sofek Shunra. We have a right to say leniently that, well, it was a dog. And in order to help you find where that quote is from, you'll notice that we have little arrows to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating over here to look at Omid Aleph, also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text on Omid Aleph, where you'll see an arrow toward the bottom indicating Omid Beis. So we have said this already, that if you have that kind of doubt, you have a right to rule leniently. So, using the same, along the same lines, Hachinami Sofek Kanya Sofek Shunra. If you have a doubt whether it was reeds or it was a cat that attacked, Amar Kanya Machya. So we will ascribe the bloody neck to its being hit, so to speak, or having had contact with the reeds. Kanya, the reeds, machya, hit it, whereas the animal, the bird ran into the reeds, and that's how its neck got bloody. Amri b'nei Rabbi Chiya, drusa sh'amru, the drusa that we have spoken about, for example, the cases of Sufik drusa, where maybe the lion attacked, or I saw an attack but I can't see the spot. Rashi points out these two different types of suffixes. So these cases of suffix drusa, tsricha bedika keneged b'nei me'ayim. You have to check the animal, all of the animal's body that's opposite the innards, those parts of the animal that are opposite the innards. The Rashi says, Tzricha livdok, gabo, the back of the animal, ukreso, the belly, the tzidel, the sides, v'kol shekeneged b'nei me'ayim. V'im hedim shom basar, if the flesh there has become reddened, zeo eris, that is the venom, utrefa, and as a result of that, it is a trefa. Shesoifei lusrof ad shinkov es b'nei me'ayim. Because the eventuality of that is that it will burn a hole in the innards. Vimlohed in Bosor Sham, if there's no redness there, Ein Tzorich Livdok Bemokom Acher. You don't have to check anywhere else. In other words, if you imagined, let's say, redness on the tail, She'ein Drusa Ela Keneged B'nei Me'ayim. Drusa is a problem only when it's at a point on the animal's body that's opposite the innards. The lo mitrefa b'mokom acher. Trefus won't result if the redness is somewhere else. So that if there's redness on its tail, you don't have to worry. Apparently, according to this approach, the venom wouldn't travel through the bloodstream of the animal and maintain its potency that far. Omar Rav Yosef, Ha de Bnei Rabbi Chiya. We underlined Bnei Rabbi Chiya 2 lines ago. There was this comment of theirs, Kvar Pirsha Shmuel. Shmuel already explained thusly, Diomar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. Shmuel, in quoting Rabbi Chanina, says, Trusa Shamru Tzricha Bdika Keneged Bnei Me'ayim. The cases of Sofek Drusa that we've spoken about necessitate a checking at a point that's on the body of the animal, of the victim, that's opposite the innards. Now you'll notice we have a double underline. This is one of our series markings, and we'll now encounter triangles as well. This is dealt with under our Mivneh heading, where we have triangles and double underlines featured. on the outside margin, and we've written Sidro Shel She'elos. The questions are indicated with the triangles, a series of questions, Shemeshivim, that eventually we'll see each time you find a response, Kvar Pirsha, it was already explained by so-and-so. The fact that we are marking the Gemara off in this way is actually indicated by Rashi, who in Dibur HaMaskil Simonim Shnedaldalu, a little bit later, where the Gemara gets off into questions that are not directly related to Drusa. Nevertheless, the topic is mentioned here. So Rashi says, "Aidi Domer Rabbi Zeira Bahanoch Tarti Dileil Kvar Pirsha Ploni." Since we see Rabbi Zeira saying already twice, he will have said. We haven't gotten to that point yet in the Gemara, but you'll see in our markings. We've also have a diagonal dashed underline featuring highlighting Rabbi Zeira's name, since Rabbi Zeira mentions already on two occasions this expression of Kfar Pirsha. So, Kamasad ve'ozil l'chol hanoch de'omar b'hu Rabbi Zeira hachi. The Gemara presents all the other cases where he says the same thing. With regard to our markings, we went a little bit beyond the Rashi by already, before the series of questions, we've already taken the liberty of using a double underline to highlight the expression Kvar Pirsha. That sets the stage for what's about to happen. So we go on in the Gemara. Boi ilfa. Yesh drusa l'simonim o ein drusa l'simonim. Simonim is a reference to the neck organs, trachea, esophagus. Let us say an animal was attacked at that point on its throat, we'll say. Does drusa affect them or not? Do we say that the nature of those organs are such that they are resilient to the effects of venom or not? That's the question. Amar Bizera, ha de boy ilfa, ilfa's question has already been resolved. Kfar Pirsha Rav Chonon Bar Rova has already been resolved by Rav Chonon. The Amar Rav Chonon Bar Rova Marav. Rav Chonon quotes Rav Drusa Shamru. Sricha b'dika keneged base hachalal kuloi v'afilu b'simonim. An animal that you have reason to suspect was attacked needs to be checked opposite its entire interior. Now, that expression, keneged base halal kulo, the Gemara explains is even the simonim. If what is being, what's being, let's say, accepted, meaning rejected or minimized, what is not included, that you'll have to look in Rashi. But for our purposes, the comment of Rav Chonon is that you will have to check the simonim. They are not impervious to the effects of the venom. Boi ilfa simonim shenidaldalu bekama. This is a question that's not directly related to drusa, but it's a case of neck organs that became dislocated or dislodged. Rashi explains nekru b'makomos harbe, that at different points in the neck, where the neck organs are adhering to the surrounding flesh, you find that it's become dislodged. So, Omar Rebbe Zeira, ha deboy ilfa, that which ilfa is asking, kvar pirsha rabo barbachana. In this case, the one who had answered it is rabo barbachana, the Omar rabo barbachana, or Shmuel, simonim she nidaldalu biruban. If the majority of the point of connection is dislocated, dislodged, then there is a problem. Boy Rav Ami, Hamismisa Mahu. The case of Mismisa, Rashi says, Kagon Shadorsa Biyerech, Shalo Keneged Hachalal. Let's say the animal was attacked on its thigh. Now, the thigh is the area that's not included in Halal Kulo. this is something we had referred to just a bit before when we spoke about Keneged Beis Halal Kulo. The Yerech, the thigh, is not included in that. Now let us say, I see that an animal was attacked on its thigh. And I notice after a while, after the attack took place, some of the flesh is starting to decay. So, Omar Rabbi Zera, Ha Deboi Rav Ami, Rav Ami's question about Mismisa, which is a Drosa related question, says, Kfar Pirsha Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda explained this. The Omar Rav Yehuda Marav. Interesting, of course, it's interesting to note that in all of these cases, the one who has, after the questions, in other words, after the triangles began, the one who was ultimate was quoted in each case happened to be, let's just retract that. It's in a couple of the cases we see Rav is answering, but we also notice that Shmuel was being quoted as well. So we don't have necessarily a consistent pattern with regard to the one who is answering, but we continue all the same in the Gemara. It was answered by Rav Yehuda, quoting Rav, Bidrusa ad shiyadim bosar keneged b'nei me'ayim. When it comes to drusa, so redness in the area above the innards, that creates a problem. The redness itself represents a problem. Nismasmeis habosar, if you have the case that we're describing, where there is a decaying of the flesh, then we apply a different standard. In other words, the redness alone isn't enough to render it unfit, but rather Rowan, we evaluate. Rowan oso ki'ilu eno. You view that organ, or that limb, not organ, but rather that limb, as if it's not there. Now, there are limbs, for example, the tsomas hagidin, in the case of the legs of animals, this is the, we'll call it a confluence of sinews that comes together around the knee area of creatures. If that is cut, that creates trephus. That's called somes hagidin. And therefore, if you have, let us say, redness on the you have decaying flesh on the leg of the animal, if you in your mind's eye were to view that limb as if it's not there, so it could, if it's that kind of situation, it could render it a trepha. That's the function of our ruling here, Roino, so we view that decaying area as if it's not there. Of course, let us say at the lower part of the leg of the animal you had decaying flesh. If you view the lower leg as if it's not there, that would not be reason for declaring it a trepha. Hechi domi nismasmes. The one wants to know on a practical level, how can we describe this situation? Omar Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua Kol Shahroife Gordo Umamido Al Boser Chai. If you have a situation, you want to know what nismasmes is. It's a situation that if the doctor, the veterinarian, would scrape away flesh until it gets to a point where there's healthy flesh, and throw away the decaying flesh. That's nismasmes. Omar Rav Ashi, ki havinon be Rav Kahana, aisi kamon ahi rea. When Rav Ashi tells a story that when we were learning by the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, there was brought in front of us a lung, the chihave mosvi law. Yasva Shapir. If the lung were placed on the table, not moved around, just put directly laid on the table, it would lie there well. V'chi havu madlu lo, but if you were to pick up the lung, picking up from by grabbing the lung itself, have a misloha, it would using the alternative girsa, we have Mislaha vinafla tilhi tilhi. It would then just decompose, fall apart into pieces, crumble. So the lung would sit intact on the table, but as we picked it up, it would just crumble, decompose. Vitarifna law, and it was declared a trefa. The animal from which this lung came was declared a trefa. Mida Rav Huna, Breider of Yeshua, based on Rav Huna, Breider of Yeshua's teaching. Rashi says here, Mida Rav Huna, Breider of Yeshua, the Omar Kol Sharoifei Gordoi, any situation that the veterinarian scrapes away, Kori Hamsos Hamismisa, Ukiilu Eino, and it's viewed as if it's not there. So that even without the veterinarian actually scraping away the flesh, in your mind's eye, that which he would have scraped away, you automatically view as if it's not there. And in the case of the lung, v'havyolo rea shechosra, then you have now a lung that's missing, and a rea shechosra is a reason for declaring trefus. Rav Nachman Omar, bekoitz, when you're dealing with a thorn that is wedged into an animal, ad shetinkav lachalol, until it penetrates to the interior of the body, in other words, below skin and flesh level, then the doubt arises concerning a puncturing. Rashi adds, when we speak about a doubt, it's not a situation that you can necessarily rely on a checking, because the hole that it would have formed is very small. You're not going to discover where the hole is. So, but it is a sufficient reason for ruling strictly once the thorn penetrates into the interior cavity, body cavity. Rav Zvid Masni Hochi. Rav Zvid has his version of this as follows. Oh, we have to back up. We skipped the phrase. Reading again from Rav Nachman, we should point out that we have two versions. The Aleph and Beis indicate this, that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Starting again from the Aleph, Rav Nachman Omar, Bekoitz at Shetinkav Lachalal, Bedrusa Mishiyadin Boser Keneged B'nei Me'ayim. When it comes to the issue of drusa, an attack, the problem only arises if you notice redness opposite the area of flesh that's over the innards. The point here is that there is a problem even if it doesn't enter the halal itself, the body cavity. Rav Zvid Masni Hochi. Rav Zvid's version of this is as follows. Bedrusa Mishiyadin Boser Keneged B'nei Me'ayim. This is the same, by the way, as Rav Nachman's version. B'simonim, here he says something that was not said before, and when it comes to the neck organs, Ad Shiyadimu Simonim Atzmon. This is a point of leniency, if you will. When it comes to the neck organs, if the flesh above the neck organs itself is reddened, that is not reason for rejection. However, if the neck organ itself has redness to it, then there is a problem. That's what's meant by the expression Achirimu Simonim Atzmon. Omar Rav Popi. Boi Rav Bevai Bar Abaye. Rav Popi says that Rav Bevai raised a question. The question itself takes a few lines till it develops. Well, you'll see that the question comes to head, the second line from the top of Nun Dalet. Veshet Nikuvaso Bemashu, Drusaso Bemashu. When it comes to the esophagus, a hole in it, even if it's a very small size, makes a trefa, and redness in it also makes a redness that's a spot, a very small spot, also makes it a trefa. Kone nekuvaso b'ki'isar. When it comes to the trachea, a hole in it, it has to be the size of an isar coin in order to create a problem. Now, the question is drusoso bekamo. The issue of the drusa, or the redness as a result of venom, how much of a spot on the trachea creates the problem. Boser debaya hoder pashta, after he asked the question, he then resolved it. Echodze v'echodze b'mashu. When it comes to drusa, whether it be the veshet or the kana, it's even a very small spot. My taimo, why is it so? Zihare mikla koli v'ozil. The venom has the ability to burn away even a larger spot, so that it's sufficient that you see a small spot of redness to create the problem of drusa. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.